Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year-long crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible. We'll include excerpts from his spoken ministry, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. Most Christians are familiar with Peter's denial of Christ on the night before his crucifixion. Many have likely wondered how such an apostle, who had been so close to the Lord Jesus for more than 3 years, could have so utterly failed him at this critical moment. But actually, what this account reveals is not just a defect in our brother Peter, but the absolute inability of all of us to meet the demand of God's kingdom with our natural life. Bob Danker has joined us again today as we consider the account in Matthew 26. Welcome back to the program, Bob.
Well, Chris, it's good to be with you again. And in this section of Matthew 26, what we're going to see is a marvelous picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the unique life that is qualified for the kingdom of the heavens.
Bob, yeah, it's easy to look at Peter and these accounts and point out the failures in others, but really, he's our representative. It seems like the whole book of Matthew, isn't he?
Yes, Peter is not just Peter, but he's all of us.
Well, let's look at these verses in chapter 26. We'll take just a few, beginning at verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all be stumbled because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Then Peter answered and said to him, "If all will be stumbled because of you, I will never be stumbled." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that in this night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will by no means deny you." And all the disciples said likewise. Quite sure of himself at this point, Bob, but things will change, won't they?
They sure will, Chris.
Let's join Witness Lee with this first portion.
Now we come to chapter 26, verse 31, to the end of the chapter. Let me check with you. In this portion of the word, what is the main intention of the writer? To show us the victory of Christ, or to show us the defeat of Peter? Here, I tell you, you have 2 persons in a kind of absolute contrast. You have Jesus and you have Peter. And Jesus was altogether able. In every aspect, he was able to pass through the pathway of the cross. He was able. He was more than able. He was absolutely able in every aspect, but not Peter. From any angle, from any aspect, Peter was altogether a defeat, trying to pass through the pathway of the cross. Peter was defeated. No need to say Peter. All the others, they were all the same. For the establishment of the kingdom, Christ victory is needed. There is such a need that Christ has to be so victorious in every aspect. And at the same time, we have to realize we, the fallen human beings, just cannot make it to be the kingdom people. We are not that kind of people. Don't have any trust in yourself. Honestly speaking, here, our brother Peter surely represents us all. As far as the kingdom is concerned, as far as our natural life goes, we all are Peters. You read this book in the light of the kingdom of the heavens. Don't forget, in this whole chapter, the Lord Jesus didn't stand on the position as the Son of God. He was altogether behaving himself as a man, a victorious man, a man that can defeat any kind of attacks, a man that can meet any kind of hardships, victorious in every aspect. Such a man is needed for the establishment of the kingdom. And at the same time, this picture gives us a clear contrast that our human life, it is impossible for our human life to be the kingdom people.
Well, Bob, this is a striking contrast presented in this section. Of course, we read the verses primarily dealing with Peter's boastfulness, his confidence, but really this is a marvelous chapter and how it unfolds. Really the account of how the Lord Jesus dealt with all the situations is really the focus here. So really what we're seeing is that all of these circumstances demonstrated how incredibly victorious he is, yet on the other hand, Peter is just as defeated, I would say. What's the point of this contrast, Bob, beyond just showing that Christ is superior to Peter?
Well, Chris, Witness Lee points out here that the real intention of the author, Matthew, in giving us this kind of a contrast, actually it's the intention of the Holy Spirit, who's the real writer of the Scriptures, but he wrote through Matthew, of course. But the real intention here is not just to show us the superiority of Christ over Peter, but to show us the kind of life that is qualified for the kingdom of the heavens. And here we see a man, Peter. No doubt Peter loved the Lord, and he was very positive for the Lord, and he wanted to be faithful. He even declared that he would be faithful. So he had the intention to be faithful. Yet Peter was just a natural man, a God-created man, even a fallen man. But Peter was lacking the life that Christ had. Peter was lacking the divine life. So the only thing Peter could rely on was his natural human life to fulfill his best intentions toward the Lord. And as this portrait here shows us, Peter failed to the uttermost. Not just a little, he failed utterly. And he was absolutely unfaithful and showed that he was not qualified to follow the Lord in taking the pathway of the cross, which was required for the establishing of the kingdom of the heavens. On the other hand, in the Lord Jesus, you have a man. He's a man. And no doubt he is for God. But in his being for God and for the kingdom, he didn't rely on his natural human life. He had a natural human life, and even a sinless human life, as he did throughout his entire 33 and a half years of his living on this earth, he never relied on that life. Rather, he lived by another life, the life of God, the life of the Father, which was in him. So here we see this man passing through such a threatening situation. It's no wonder that Peter failed in such a threatening and negative situation. Yet the Lord here displayed that he was absolutely victorious, absolutely able to face any situation and come out shining in his victory. And, you know, this is a tremendous contrast. It shows that only Christ, only he is the life that is qualified for the kingdom of the heavens.
Yeah, Peter was not short of good, solid intention. Even there was a love, a kind of love for the Lord here, and wanting so badly not to let him down and to pass this test that the Lord now has given him advance warning he's going to go through. But despite all of that, there just is no ability, there's no capability in our natural life, our natural strength to carry out what we so badly want to accomplish before the Lord, is there?
That's right. This is very clearly portrayed in this account in Matthew.
Well, not only, we're going to see Bob coming up, not only did Peter possess these qualities of the desire, the intent, the will demonstrated to follow through, he had some other advantages that even we don't possess that should have qualified him, we would think, in one sense. And that's what we're going to look at in this next section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Who are the disciples and who is Peter? I tell you, they were the ones who were under the Lord's teaching, training, establishing, strengthening for 3.5 years. You just think over from chapter 4 to this chapter, see Peter. He was a fisher there. And he got caught. And he followed the Lord Jesus. And he was there under the decree of the constitution of the kingdoms. I tell you, he was in every kind of instance. And the Lord Jesus took a special care in his training of Peter. The Lord Jesus trained him particularly with specific steps. He was there at the decree of the Constitution. He was there listening to all the mysteries concerning the kingdom. And he was especially, specifically taught, trained concerning Christ being the Son of God, concerning the building up of the church, and concerning, you know, even the pathway to the cross. He was dealt with, and he was on the mountain transfiguration, and he was also corrected, adjusted. My, he was adjusted once, twice, three times at least, and he learned all the things. I just can hardly believe such a person who got such a qualification, education, eventually he was the top one in doing what? In denying. I tell you, if he couldn't make it, who can? Have you ever been so much qualified? If in chapter 4, the fisher Peter denied Christ, no surprise to me. But here, after the 3.5 years, oh, could you all believe? The Lord Jesus told him, Peter, you are going to deny me 3 times tonight. And he still tried his best. But the picture shows, I tell you, he denied the Lord to the uttermost, and the record goes to the uttermost that no human being can make it for the kingdom life. This is for sure.
Well, Bob, we're remarking here as we listen to this, I don't think there's much we can add to this. The presentation and the case that Witness Lee put out is so solid, there's really not much to say, is there? We have Peter, as he has been so many times, an example, acting, speaking, just as really we would. He really is there as our representative. After all that he'd been through, after all he'd been taught, after all he'd seen, still at this critical moment, he couldn't make it. So, Bob, what does this tell us about our own ability to make it?
Well, as you said, Chris, and as Witness Lee pointed out so well, Peter is our representative. Peter is not only Peter, but Peter is you and me. And Peter was even more than you and me. You and I were not with the Lord for those 3.5 years, like Peter was. We were not personally trained by the Lord as Peter was in all the matters related to the kingdom of the heavens. And we were not corrected, adjusted, and so forth. We weren't there when the Lord spoke all the words about the constitution of the kingdom in Matthew 5-7 and the parables in Matthew 13. Of course, we can read about it all in the Gospel of Matthew, but we weren't there personally. So Peter had a tremendous advantage over us. He loved the Lord, he was very much for the Lord, and he was there with the Lord directly. Now, if Peter failed so miserably, I would even say he failed shamefully. It was a shameful failure. Peter was so ashamed that he went out and he just wept. If he failed in such a way, do you and I think that we are in a better position than Peter is to meet the requirements of the kingdom? Do we think that we are more qualified to follow the Lord Jesus in taking the pathway of the cross to establish the kingdom of the heavens? Not at all. We're not more qualified. We're, if anything, we're less qualified. So this shows that we should never have any confidence in ourself, in our natural life, in what we can do out of ourselves. And yet, we are, again, like Peter. You know, foolishly, I would say, we still are somewhat confident that we are good people. We're qualified. We can do it. Whatever the Lord wants from us, we may need a little help from him, but we're able to do something. But eventually, what we need is what Peter needed. The Lord was merciful to Peter, and he arranged a situation, perfect situation, that tested Peter to the uttermost and that exposed him to the very bottom and showed Peter clearly that he should not rely upon himself in following the Lord. And this example is for us, to show us that we should never rely on our natural life for anything in the Christian life, in living in the kingdom of God, you know, in any aspect of our Christian life. We cannot rely on ourselves.
Well, Bob, what we're going to see in this next section now, we're going to set Peter aside and really look at what should be the focus, and that is this victorious life of Christ. And here he is preparing to go through death, preparing to be in resurrection, not just for his own sake, but he's preparing something. He's preparing the divine life for Peter, the other apostles, and for all of us, that we could have a life that's fitting for the kingdom. That's really the point of where we're going today. So let's go back to Witness Lee.
This picture of his being arrested and his being judged gives us a clear view that our natural life cannot make it. No one can follow Christ through the pathway of the cross by our natural life. He was arrested. Actually, he was handing himself over to them. Actually, he was not arrested. Who can arrest him? No one can arrest him. And he rather told his disciple he must die this way to fulfill the scriptures. So his death was not a forced death. His death was a voluntary death. Amen. To fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament concerning his crucifixion. He went into death voluntarily for the fulfillment of the Bible. Then he was tested. He was accused falsely. He didn't say a word. As a man standing with God for God's kingdom, he wouldn't vindicate himself at all. But when the point came, he was asked, "Tell us, are you the Son of God, the Christ?" When this point was raised up, he wouldn't keep himself silent. I tell you, this high priest, Caiaphas, he was altogether the devil. His questions are the same as the tempters in the wilderness. Could you see this? Exactly the same. And the Lord's answer was also the same. You say, "I'm the Son of God." No doubt I am. But I tell you, what I'm standing here is not the position of the Son of God, but the position of a man. I will be such a man in resurrection, in ascension, and I will be such a man until I come back on the clouds. Oh, they got mad. This is blasphemy. We don't need to ask him anything further. Right away, they mocked him, they spit on him, they did a lot of evil things over him. But he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He was altogether silent and victoriously silent. He made it. Oh, what a shame to Peter. A strong contrast to show what can life is good for the kingdom. And what can life is not good for the kingdom. I tell you, only Jesus' life is good for the kingdom. But, praise him, there is still the way of repentance, the way of weeping, the way of confessing, which will bring in the forgiveness, which also will bring in a realization that I am not able. I am not qualified. The life I have is not the life for the kingdom. I must have another life. I must have Jesus' life. I cannot make it until you pass through all the tests and suffered all the defeat and failures and realize that you need another life. You could never be able to take the kingdom way.
Bob, what a tremendous picture of the victorious life of Christ. The more we get into this marvelous account, Bob, in Matthew, of Christ's life, I think the more impressed that we have to be with the small points. Here, the high priest is questioning him and, as was pointed out, asking him very similar questions to those that Satan put to him in that early temptation that took place in Matthew. And he knew exactly when to speak and exactly when to be silent. I think these things, Bob, even more than the miracles, demonstrate how only his life is really good for the kingdom.
That's right. This is more convincing than any miraculous thing that the Lord did in the physical and natural realm. I was just considering again this tremendous contrast. You know, in the garden, when the Lord was there with his disciples, the Lord was praying and submitting himself to the Father and the Father's will, and the disciples were sleeping. This is a contrast. Then when the people came to arrest the Lord, Peter pulled out his sword and he fought like a natural man would. But the Lord just handed himself over to his arresters so that he could fulfill the scriptures. He could fulfill the prophecies in the Bible concerning his death. And then when he was before the Sanhedrin, when they accused him falsely, they mocked him, they spit at him, the Lord didn't say a word. But when the high priest asked him a question about his person, he boldly spoke and affirmed that, yes, he was the Son of God. And then he went even further to testify to the truth that in his resurrection, in his ascension, and in his second coming to establish God's kingdom, he would still be the Son of Man. So while he was going on, Peter was denying him three times. While all this was happening, even with cursing, Peter denied him. So what can we do in face of such a contrast? We all can only bow our hearts and worship and love the Lord for what he is. And then we have to humble ourselves and just admit and confess and repent and say, Lord, I am not qualified. I cannot make it. I need you to come to live in me, to be my life, so that I can live in the kingdom.
Bob, I find it hard to have the words, I think, to express the magnificence we've seen in the ministry today as it's unfolded this chapter of Matthew. I want to really recommend that our listeners contact us about the printed life study message. There's many more of these small details that we didn't have time to include in the program today that are just equally impressive, demonstrating this one thing. And the effect really is to do what you just said, and it really is to bring us to our knees, to bring us to a state of humility and appreciation for how vastly superior, and then in gratitude that he has made this divine life available to us in our full salvation. Tremendous program today, Bob. Thank you for being here.
A great pleasure.
We're out of time. Let me point out quickly our toll-free number and invite you to contact us. It's 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can send email to us to radio@lsm.org. We hope you've enjoyed this program, and better, we hope this program has really brought you to Christ as it has us. For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, produced by Living Stream Ministry. Living Stream Ministry is dedicated to the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, two co-laborers with the Lord in China during the first half of the 20th century. After World War II, Watchman Nee sent Witness Lee to carry out this ministry in Taiwan. Later, the Lord led him to the United States and eventually to the rest of the world, before he went to be with the Lord in 1997. Living Stream Ministry now has hundreds of titles by Watchman Nee and Witness Lee available in English, plus many in more than 50 other languages. To find out more about Living Stream and all that we offer, visit our website, lsm.org. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-888-543-3788 or email us, radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening.
What is the church?
The church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. The body of Christ is not an organization, but an organism, constituted of all the regenerated believers for the expression and activities of the head. The body of Christ is the issue of the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ, who has come into the church. By means of the ascended Christ's heavenly transmission, we are made one with him, and thus his body is produced. Scripture, Ephesians 1:23, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.